Hey everyone, I'm Chuck Peters, your host, and you're listening to the new Kids Ministry 101 podcast, a show designed to inform, instruct, and inspire kids ministry leaders and volunteers. This week's episode comes from our national ETCH Family Ministry Conference that's held each year right here in Nashville. We bring together amazing thought leaders and practitioners from all over the country for ETCH, and we thought, what a better way to equip our podcast audience than to sit down with some of these leaders and have conversations about the things that they're learning and teaching others in the world of kids ministry. The conversation that you're about to hear is just a fraction of the great instruction and inspiration that you'll find here at the ETCH Conference. If you haven't already registered, I want to strongly encourage you to consider joining us in October. You can find more about this year's event happening October 16th through 18th at etchconference.com, etchconference.com. Now, sit back and enjoy. Here comes today's episode. Today, we will be discussing teaching the tough stuff. We, as teachers, want to teach the full counsel of Scripture to our children, but what do you do with the violent and mature content in the pages of the Bible? Well, today we're talking about how to teach the tough stuff of children with wisdom and faithfulness. And we are here joined again by our good friend John Murchison, who's with the Austin Stone Community Church in Austin, Texas. John, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here, Chuck.
And let's talk about the tough stuff.
Let's do it.
It can be tough. There's a lot. The Bible is honest.
Right.
And historical. And there's a lot of stuff in it that can be a little much for young children.
That's right. I that's one of the bigger challenges, I think, children's ministries, whether they are church ministries or parachurch ministries that are offering curriculum, face. We've also often heard from pastors to adults like how great it is that the Scripture isn't silent about tough topics and addresses real life. But then when you've got 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds in a room, what's wise and what do we do? And that's a really tough question. And I find people fall on either side of an error for that. Yeah.
And there's some stuff that's really graphic.
Correct.
And that can be a little beyond what we are ready to talk to kids
Correct.
About, right?
And I want to make clear, like, even though I'm teaching the tough stuff breakout here, we're talking about it now, I'm not, like, a proponent of scaring children. I'm not here saying, okay, we got to be real, so when you get to that tent peg story, you got to get a melon and a nail and go for it. No, I think there's room for wisdom. But I think that churches, historically, especially in preschool ministries, have tried to avoid that so far that they have even avoided approaching topics that can contain really strong truths that kids need to hear and have become so sanitized we've whitewashed the Bible for kids.
So what are some examples of those tough things that we may have to address?
Man, when I pick up a children's Bible, a new one that I've never read before, and I want to see, hey, how do I think this is going to fall? Am I going to recommend this? The first story I turn to is Noah, because it's a great story for kids. Obviously, you got the animal thing, you got the rainbow thing. It's great. But do they mention the reason for the flood? Do they mention that the world was full of sin, that the world was in need of help and healing, that God was going to actually wash the world clean of sin, that there was a judgment for sin that was right and good? Or do they just say, God told Noah a flood was coming, and so he built a ship and then happy animals? Like, do they skip over the truth that sin is a real problem to deal with? Do they skip over the fact that God is a God of justice in addition to being a God of love and rescue and salvation?
Which is really kind of the whole point of the story.
Correct.
Right? We wouldn't have the story of Noah if not for the story of judgment that came before.
I completely agree. So I'm not saying you need to take that lesson and say, okay, imagine the water rising around you or imagine the stench of dead bodies. I'm just saying I think we definitely need to include the tough part of the story, the part that's tough for us to hear, which is that sin is within all of us. And there's a just God who's going to deal with sin, and he's good to do so. Now, he's also good to save his people from that judgment. But the judgment is coming. I mean, all the time my generation, people who grew up in the church, you'll hear it in interviews, you'll hear it in books, you'll hear people say, well, I don't like the God of the Old Testament. He seems like he's too harsh. Mm-hmm. My God is a God of love. They start to pick and choose what aspects of God they want to believe in. And in a sense, play God themselves. Mm-hmm. I wonder if part of that is due to the way they were brought up in church, to where we emphasized the God of love and never talked about the God of judgment, the tougher stuff in the
Bible.
So
especially in the context of teaching children, then, what are some of the hazards of not teaching
Sure.
The full scope of Scripture.
I think one of the big ones, in addition to not knowing about sin in the corporate sense from like the Noah story, is just the danger of not, one, knowing that they individually are sinners and that one bottom line that we've come back to is we will always fail, but God is always faithful. Just that idea that we will always fail, that there's something in us that is broken due to sin that we need a rescuer for. The other thing is simply that sin is costly. So I think of the story, in fact, right, we just heard it that last night. If I don't know if we mentioned, we're at an Etch Ministry conference, and last night we had to talk about the Passover lamb, and it just reminded me in that story, or in that historical fact, the Jewish people brought a lamb into their home.
Lived with it for
4 days in their house. And there were preschoolers in some of those homes. And was it a tough lesson for those kids to have a lamb in their home for 4 days and then see it slaughtered and to see the blood on the door? Yes. But it was an important lesson that sin is costly and that redemption is costly and it costs something. Now, again, I'm not saying we need to talk about here's how a lamb was broken or here's what the blood would look like on the door. But I think when we tell that story, one, we need to include it. I think there are some children's ministries who will skip over it. Too dark, too scary.
Yes.
Why include it? God included it for those preschoolers. I think we need to include it. We don't need to go into the graphic details. We do need to say that there was judgment coming, and without this substitutionary sacrifice that was costly, then the judgment would have come on them too. Because that points directly to Jesus.
Yes.
We did an Advent series a few years ago, and we talked through like different stories leading up to Christmas, and one of them was Passover. And I had some parents, and even some of my staff, saying, "Are we really going to teach Passover as a Christmas story?" And I had my doubts, so I stuck to it. Well, it was all worth it when I heard later that once we got to the Christmas story, a three-year-old, once they were explaining how Jesus died for our sins instead, the three-year-old rose his hand and said,
"Wait,
does that mean no more lambs?" And made the connection between the sacrifice of this lamb and the sacrifice of Christ. And so I think we need to teach the content of the tough stuff about sin, about judgment, about a need for redemption, so that our kids aren't surprised when they then hear Jesus had to die for you and that God is a God that is just and right and good to do that.
So our goal in kids ministry, or if we assume that our goal in kids ministry is not to create good kids,
right?
But to create spiritually mature adults who follow the Lord their whole lives, lifelong disciples.
Correct.
How are these stories essential to that process? If we leave them out, are we undermining that?
That's a really insightful question. I hadn't connected until you mentioned it. The idea of teaching the tough stuff to kids and the contrast between a moral-centric teaching and a gospel-centric teaching. Moral-centric being, you do this because God says so, and that's really easy to default to in children's ministry. And the gospel-centered teaching of God did this for you, therefore go and do this. That whole link is not necessary if we don't talk about judgment, if we don't talk about sin being costly, if we don't talk about God being in control of even suffering, like the story of Joseph. If we don't talk about those things, we lose the springboard to talk about, because of that, here's why, it's because God took that for us, here's why we can go obey. We take the rug out from under us, and all we're left with is, Noah followed God and obeyed God and brought his animals in, so you should do that too. If we don't talk about judgment and rescue, that story becomes a completely moralistic story and not a gospel-centric story, which builds kids up into the fullness of Christ.
So it's that old begin with the end in mind, right? So if we're looking to create a certain type of a mature believer as our kids, by the time they leave our kids' ministry, we'll need to teach differently from the beginning.
I think that's so insightful. Rather than say, how can I teach this lesson for this Sunday just to get through it? What's best about this lesson to help kids in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years of walking with Jesus? What's the foundation we're going to lay now that will allow them to be successful followers of Christ later?
So for that leader who has not thought about this before, who is now listening to this conversation and thinking, maybe I need to reevaluate, what advice would you give? How do you make the change? If you have been, I don't want to necessarily say watering down, but maybe not teaching the full depth And there's also concern about age appropriateness. You know, at some point in time,
of course,
kids' understanding and ability to learn changes as they develop. How would you speak, one, to where do you begin? How do you make that? How do you get started in this? And then a word on what's age appropriate?
So good question. So let's start with how do you begin? I think you begin with prayer and with the intentionality, like you said, of saying what is essential about laying a good foundation for these children out of this story. And then I would say use good resources. I think that one reason we partner with the Gospel Project is we think they do a really great job of that. I know all life of curriculum is great. We choose Gospel Project because it does a great job of when it walks through the Bible, it gets to these stories. And it does a good job of containing the content that's essential without getting too graphic. They also have that big picture story Bible series that's related to it that it also does a good job of that. Another couple books that I recommend, the Jesus Storybook Bible is an amazing paraphrase of the scripture that brings in these things in a way that is, I think, age appropriate for preschoolers, but also shows the connection to Jesus. And then one other book called Answering Your Kids' Toughest Questions was helpful for me and knowing different age groups. What can kids handle about suffering in the world? What can a three-year-old handle compared to a grade schooler compared to a student? So those are all just resources I would say. Start with that. And then, of course, counsel of others, your elders, your pastors, your community. Like, go to them and say, hey, what would you teach three-year-olds about this lesson and get their insight?
So you brought up resources.
Yeah.
I had not gone there yet in my mind, but I'm glad that you did because there may be an opportunity. You mentioned the story of Noah as one that you use. So as someone is, it might be a good idea, a wise idea for that leader to evaluate whatever they're currently using to see if it matches your Noah test. Do you have other bits of advice on looking at the resources you use and looking for one that might be a trustworthy
choice? Good question. Yeah, I think both the resources you use, the Bibles you use, and the curriculum you use, evaluate. I mean, number one, bigger than that is the gospel versus moral centered. Is the major takeaway, do this, and then implied is, so God will be pleased with you. No one ever says that, but it's implied so much. Or is it, God has done this for us, so then we go out and do. Other tests I've seen besides the Noah test, is David and Bathsheba even included or is it glossed over? I think there's a way to teach the preschoolers that tells them about sin in a way that is really powerful. Instead of saying, you don't have to go into the details. You just say, David was with a woman the way men should be only with their wives. And he also had a man killed in order to do that. And that was sin. But he was also used by God. You can say that and imply, hey, the only perfect person is God. The rest of us need Jesus to be saved. So I'd say, is that story even included? Is Noah about animals and rainbows, or is it about judgment and animals and rainbows and salvation? The third I would say is the Abraham and Isaac story. Is that included, where he goes up the mountain? A lot of times younger lessons will gloss over that. And the biggest one, I almost forgot this one, the gospel. Do they say that Jesus wants to be your friend forever, or do they say that Jesus died for your sins? I know it's hard to talk about death with preschoolers, but it's so important that they know Jesus died in our place. And if that's not included, the gospel's not included in that lesson at all.
Wow. Great. Very practical takeaway for assessing and evaluating resources. John Murchison, thank you for your time joining us here at the Etch Family Ministry Conference. We appreciate your wisdom and your insight.
Honored to be here, man. Thanks for letting me share.
We'll have you back anytime. Thanks, everyone, for listening to today's episode. Again, I'd like to invite you to come and join us to be part of conversations like the one that you just heard at this year's Etch Conference. It's happening October 16th through 18th here in Nashville at the Music City Center, and we'd love for you to be here. All the details on the event are over at our website at etchconference.com. We already have some great keynote speakers that are lined up for this year, including Dr. Eric Mason, Angie Smith, and Pastor Robbie Gallaty. You can also sign up for our email updates so you'll be one of the first to know when we add more speakers and topics in the days ahead.